Welcome to the VIP Vegas podcast. I go by the name of Stephen James.
I'm Brunty Vegas. Make sure you like and subscribe and hit that notification bell for all your Las Vegas material.
Yes.
Special episode today.
Yeah, I was going to say, today we have a special episode, a special guest. Mr. Martin, the Vegas veteran, is in the house.
Yeah, Martin McGuinness.
Martin McGuinness, yes, that's what I was going to say. But yeah.
How you feeling, mate? How's your drive down? Everything good?
Oh, it's all right, yeah. Yes, nice studio. I'm looking forward to having a good chat about Vegas. Stories from 25 years of travel. I did say to my wife coming here, I was going to chat to a couple of friends about Vegas. I think she thought I was going to an AA meeting. So record, my name is Martin. I'm a Vegaholic and I've been 12 weeks since my last visit.
The fact that he's got a bottle of Hennessy right in front of him might not go down too well. She probably won't believe him. But
so we are about 37 trips and counting.
Wow, 37. So it'll be 38 this year for the Formula One.
Now I'm going in April.
Okay.
Weekend at Palm Tree.
I think you said you're going like the 28th or something.
28th of April, so next month,
I very thought the palm tree's opening in May, though.
Yeah, May the 2nd.
Yeah, so you're going to be out there then?
For that weekend. Yeah. Perfect. Cargo's on the Saturday night.
Yeah, mate, I'll be there. I'm flying on the 30th, so we'll definitely have to meet up for a few days.
I'm going with a first-timer, so a friend of mine.
Vegas Virgin, yeah?
I love going, but I'm a little bit jealous that he sees it for the first time. I mean, you've all probably remembered your first trip.
It's kind of like that in the movies when you go to the cinema and you go and see it for the first time. Then you come back home and you like rewatch because it's become one of your favorite films. You're like, I wish I could have that lens when it was
the first time round. So I'm going with a newbie. So 5 weeks away. Looking forward to it. And if you're out there,
I'll be there. I think like you were saying about remembering your first time and stuff, it'd be good if we, with the podcast, but it'd be good to have like one of those handheld cameras.
Yes.
To like document the whole thing. So that would be quite good this year. Well, I've never done that before. So
let's kick off with just a little bit of the news of the week this week. So the main thing that's just happened very, very recently, because we've just come from the studio from last week. The Conrail's being taken over by Vanderpump herself. Mm. So she's got a couple of those bars and lounges and, like say, restaurants along the strip. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk about that, as that's the newest thing that's happened on my timeline feed anyway.
Mm-hmm. You guys ever been to the Vanderpump bars and that, or in Caesars?
I've been in the one in Caesars. It's next to the Coliseum, isn't it? To the left-hand side. It used to be Elton John's champagne bar.
Yeah.
For people that have been there a while back. But she's got a couple of restaurants. She's sort of, she's turning into the Gordon Ramsay, I think.
He's drinking world. I don't know. If you've been before, it's like sort of quite weird and wonderful.
It's
isn't
a bit
it?
Of a boutique hotel.
Yeah.
Opened one in Paris. And so obviously the Caesars one is a staple over in
Vegas.
It's
probably one of the smaller ones, but it's a good location.
Yeah.
Obviously got Dre's.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see what she does with a hotel. I mean, I've only ever seen the bars and stuff. It's going to be, like I say, weird and wonderful. But I think the Cromwell's needed a bit of a change. Has Cromwell always been, so you've been going to Vegas for the last 25 years?
Cromwell.
Has that always been there?
No, it was a different hotel. I'm not sure what it was before, but Cromwell's been open about 12 years.
Okay.
I went opening weekend to the nightclub when Dre's opened it up there. That was a couple of years after Cromwell had set up. But Cromwell's lovely because it's got that nice long straight foyer as you walk in with a casino and the low red chandeliers.
I love the smell of it.
Beautiful.
The smell.
As every you walk hotel's in, got a different smell.
Yeah, but Cromwell's probably one of my favourite ones. Yeah. Whether or not they keep that, now she's taken over, is a different thing. But it's lovely, that one.
It's quite a different one as well, isn't it, compared to the other hotels. Obviously, some of them are themed and some of them are a bit more upclass. But for that one, just being a long straight down and like I said the low red lights.
A lot of restaurants and bars, they're very floral, so I don't know if that will be going in there.
I think it probably will be a bit like that because that's the sort of theme that she goes with. But what else have we got then, Brunty?
Well, like I said, because it's only been about a week since we've seen each other from being in the studio last time, there's not really been a lot that's happening. Whether or not you want to touch on it, there was a little bit of a thing that was happening in Circus. I don't know if you guys saw that pop up, but there was
the takeover that's potentially happening.
Not even that. It was just like, I think there was just a bit of a shoot scare, but then there was nothing.
There was a couple of kids shouting gun, 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 and they evacuated, and about 40 cop cars turned up. A bit of a false alarm.
I think they We won't talk about this on talk about that on this pod, don't worry. But yeah,
false alarm.
Yeah, I think
it was a false alarm anyway.
Stuff like that happens, isn't it? It's very rare, but I mean, now and again, especially somewhere like America that's got you know, guns that are legalized. But yeah, anyway. Glad nothing happened or anyone got hurt. Anyway,
oh exactly. But yeah, before we dive into some of your stories, because that's everyone's favorite and it's ours as well. Mm-hmm. As always, we're going to say thank you to Hennessy for collaborating with us on this episode.
Yes, Hennessy. Thank you very much for the collaboration.
Yeah, so if you want, we'll do a couple measurements and we'll tuck into some stories whilst
we will
sip away.
Yeah, let's have a drink and then we can go into a bit of your background and that, Martin, and then we can get into some stories and stuff and then, see where it takes us. So you're going to have yours out of the mug then?
I think so, yeah.
With the VIP Vegas mug.
VIP Vegas mug.
Love that.
What is your poison? Obviously, we are sponsored by Hennessy, so just be careful what you say. All right. But what is your usual poison, if you don't mind?
He's like, well, I only drink Hennessy on the plane on the way over. Hennessy when I get to Vegas. And also Hennessy on the plane on the way back as well.
I drink anything, to be fair. A few cocktails here and there, but effectively, I do like a vodka.
Yeah,
vodka's strong.
Yeah, vodka Red Bull kind of guy, not really.
Yeah, vodka Red Bull.
I've heard that vodka Red Bull. You know, a few episodes ago, we was talking about like hangover cures. Mm. Apparently, vodka Red Bull is really good for that because it puts the sugar back in.
I think that's the Red Bull doing that. The caffeine. It's just probably, the old myth, the hair of the dog, isn't it?
So. Yeah, yeah. So it's just like a bit of both.
You got the pineapple juice?
Yep, I have indeed.
You're going to ruin it.
You say have a little taste of that.
Or do you drink in your straight?
Oh, nice.
He'll have it like that. See? You can tell he's a Vegas veteran. He's having it as a professional, nice and straight. On the rocks.
It's all right.
Yeah, I prefer a bit of pineapple, but I still love it like that. It's just last time I was getting pretty tipsy. I was slurring a little bit.
We were having a bit of fun, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you can have yours like that. Okay, cool. No problem.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Indeed, we'll have a little cheers on set and to the mug. It's not the first time I've drunk alcohol out of a mug. But yeah, cheers, Mike. Thank you again for coming on the episode. Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks, Mike.
You got it?
Nice. So yeah, Hennessy, thank you. And let's get into the pod then.
I want to go straight off the bat and ask you, obviously, like a little bit of your background before we talk into the stories. You were telling me off camera a little bit about like the company and stuff, what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I've co-owned my own company for about 15 years in the supply and the building trade with tray counters. So it's been a lot of early starts. So it's been a success. It's allowed me to enjoy the spoils of working hard for yourself and running your own business. And it's nice to let your hair down. My particular letting hair down
is Las Vegas.
It's Las Vegas.
Really? It's what funds that. Yeah.
So you do need a bit of a bankroll to do it on a regular basis.
So was it like your Vegas sort of experiences, was that off the back of sort of like working real hard and then going out
there
as like a blowout sort of thing?
Obviously, I'm a bit older than you guys, but growing up in sort of the 80s, Vegas was, you know, it was where all the big fights were. Sort of Mike Tyson. You know, it was all glamour. And when you get to an age where you can go and try that, I thought, you know, I quite fancy that. I like a bit of a gamble. I don't go mad. I'm reasonably controlled.
Yeah.
And have been. And believe you me, for Vegas, you do need to have some control.
Oh, 100%, mate. This is what I was saying as well, Bronte. Like being able to start a business in Vegas and carrying it on and not lose all your money or end up like off the strip.
There's more ways to spend money in Vegas than earn it.
There is. You've got to be quite headstrong for it.
So, I sort of started back in 2000, I think, first trip. Wow. We did a week in Vegas with a week in Hawaii.
Nice.
So the Vegas was to appease me and the Hawaii was to please the wife.
Did you do Vegas first?
Yeah,
or
we
Hawaii
did Vegas
first?
Vegas for the first week and then Hawaii for the second week.
Right,
and
okay,
Tina, my missus, thought she'd hate Vegas and that she'd love Hawaii. I'd been and done Hawaii before.
Right.
So I knew what Hawaii was, very expensive beach. But it turns out that she loved the Vegas part of it.
And didn't like Hawaii as much.
Oh, no, she enjoyed Hawaii. She jumped out of a plane and did some weird things.
Oh, wow.
Sort of skydiving and stuff. But ultimately, she found that she liked it, which was good for me because I knew I loved it. So from that moment on, we sort of went once a year, probably, and the old Vegas bug sort of gets you a little bit more.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by that point, you know, you're into comp systems and loyalty cards with hotels. They encourage you to come in and send you the emails with the free nights. So all you've got to do is cover flights. So we found ourselves going twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, particularly since COVID, it's probably three times a year.
Yeah, I love that. I think I go maybe once a year.
He definitely got to Vegas part. Yeah,
in fact, August, we went in August. It wasn't planned, but the Killers were playing the Coliseum on one of their... The Killers did a residency last year. So last minute thing, just get some flights, get out, watch the show. And then we went back 6 weeks later, which was our normal trip with some friends. But we got tagged at customs for that because I think if you go too frequently or too close together...
Yeah, they want to know what's going on.
Yeah, they wanted to check my luggage. I don't know if they thought I was smuggling watches or what I was doing. So I had a secondary inspection, but it's all right. But yeah, so we're up to about three times a year now. Still finding something different to do every time. The city's always changing, as you know.
Of course.
But yeah, I mean, from 2000 to 2010, it was very much a gambling orientated city. Everything was cheap food, cheap buffets. And then sort of, I think we talked off camera, when they opened the city centre, which was 2010, 2011, and then Cosmo opened, which was an independent in the middle of the strip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it forced MGM and Caesars to up their game. Because Cosmo were offering 3 and 4 night comps, whereas the others weren't. And suddenly they had to match the deal. Competition is good.
Yeah, yeah. So this is what I said as well. It's a bit like with Circus, having to up their game or sell it on, because the standard of the strip now is so high.
Well, they've got Fountain Blue across the road now.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. I went to the opening party of that. It was wild that weekend.
It opened in December, didn't it?
Yeah, December 2023.
I was there early January. So it was a three weeks open, but a lovely hotel. Massive. Yeah,
I think it's still like a work, like all of them are work in progress.
Yeah, all the shops are shut.
Yeah, so there's still and there's a few restaurants
not open.
Nah, so there's a few like that way. Yeah. But what I was going to say, so coming back to what you were saying about the boxing and stuff like that, the first time you went to Vegas, who did you go and see, like boxing wise?
I know there wasn't actually a boxing match on, but I'd grown up with a vision of Vegas is glamorous. Oh, okay. There's gambling going on.
Yeah.
I've been out there on a Pacquiao Mayweather weekend.
Mm. First time I went.
Yeah,
that's
so that
the
was
first
about,
time.
That was about 15, maybe.
That was about 10 years ago.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what it's like out there. That's massive. If you haven't got a ticket for the fight, you can't get in.
Yeah, it was
They don't show it localized. So you can't just sit in a sports book and watch it. You can either pay for your ticket or there's cinema showings and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's not like over here, if you've got a big football match, you can go into a pub and watch it. With them boxing events, they sort of close it off from the strip.
Mm. A bit like a sport, I suppose, with the Formula One. It's like, if you haven't got a ticket, they make it hard for you to view it. Yeah. So
it's why all on the bridges, if you'd seen back in the, when they did the first race, they sheened all the glass on them bridges so you couldn't actually stand there.
Well, last
on the
week I was out there, the week before the Grand Prix last week, and getting around was horrendous because they closed stuff off, but all the bridges, you say, are all camouflaged over.
Yeah.
I don't mean the locals like it, but the tourists like it.
Yeah, a lot of small businesses as well are really sort of annoying.
People can't get to them.
Yeah, they can't. That's exactly it.
The traffic bypasses them.
Yeah,
and stuff,
so. But I think it's getting every year that goes on. They're sort of like dealing with it a little bit better. So hopefully this year, everyone's a bit more happy.
I'm out there for November for this year. So
Meant to be in Dubai, but I've not signed. I might just fly in for that weekend and then go back to Dubai after, but we'll see. Mm. All right, cool. So basically you headed out there. So it wasn't down to, because we spoke on the last podcast about movies and stuff like that.
Yes.
Was you sort of inspired by the movies that were talking about Vegas, or was it pretty much the sporting events?
I think it was the sporting events, because the movies, I mean, like the Hangover trilogy, it is one of my favourites. I'm sure we've all got some Hangover moments.
But that was, Hangover wasn't out, was it?
I mean, there was Ocean's 11 and a few things out and about that would sort of glamorise the Bellagio and the casino aspect of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like all things Vegas.
Course.
But yes, it's changed massively. The last 5 years, it's been more, they've turned it into an entertainment centre.
Yeah, we were saying this on a previous pod.
Yeah, yeah, I think what they've done is they've realised that not everyone going out there to gamble, and a lot of people are going out to party and to be entertained, and gambling is only a side stream to that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The big franchises are out there, the football, the American football, the ice hockey, the baseball's on its way.
Yeah, the A's.
The A's are a couple of years away, and that's going to cost a fortune.
Yeah.
But they have to do that to keep up to date. They're competing with Abu Dhabi and a few other centres.
When you've probably started going out, there wasn't the internet as much.
No.
And so like a big thing that's took away the gambling now is the online gambling.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like they've had to sort of move in a different direction or pivot slightly because a lot of people just gamble online now.
Yeah.
It's on their phone. Yeah. So I think that's probably the main one. Yeah. But as you say, like Dubai and Rack, and now they've got the license, a lot of people are going to be going there, Macau. Mm. And I mean, Vegas, maybe no longer the gambling capital.
They find their ways to spend money. So it was always one or two decent restaurants in the hotels. Now there's four or five decent in every one.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend hundreds on meals. But if you're going that distance, you want to, you know, you're staying in a nice hotel, you want to eat nice, you want to, you know, it's catered to spend money, but you do get luxury with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I wanted to bring it back to when you were saying about the parties.
Yes.
Because obviously we have a concierge company that facilitates all the companies, all the party stuff.
Yeah.
Is that been in all of your Vegas journeys and experiences? You were telling me off camera that you've gone for different budgets. You've partied in this place and another place.
I've gone quite a few times, on it, not just with other halves and friends. I've been there as sort of boys' trips, 25th parties, 30 parties, golf trips.
Yeah.
Each of those come with a slightly different budget. And even within them groups, some people's budget is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we've done the proper boys' trips, you know, stag trip down one side of the strip day one, day two, maybe go shoot some guns, play golf, day three, pub crawl down the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, bear in mind, this is a city where you can pub crawl within a hotel.
100%.
People do not appreciate that. So to pub crawl half the version of the strip is still an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
And those nights would always end up in a nightclub or a gentleman's club or whatever.
That's good going. You start off with a pub crawl, then you end up at the nightclub after. So it's like an all-day thing.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the pool party side of things?
Yeah, I mean, the pool party sort of really kicked in maybe 10 years ago, I suppose.
Right,
as well.
Okay. That's good timing for me. That's when I come on the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they were modernizing the pools and putting up cabanas, and you could have TVs and drinks brought to you and music playing. And I think they realized that if they built other pools, because some of these are at other pools now, they can maximize it. And, you know, my daughter now goes to Vegas. I think she's caught my Vegas bug. It's obviously hereditary, but she goes every year. She's an Omnia fan. Marquee Day Club.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'll do back-to-back. You know, if I go out with her for the weekend, she'll be marquee during the day.
Wow.
I'll get 2 hours with her. Yeah. We have to have a quick dinner because she's got to get in the queue to marquee. And I know you guys help with that.
Because you don't need to queue up anymore. She knows us, mate, so it's sweet.
The one thing that you guys do, and it is important, most people are going for 4 days. It's 96 hours. It's not a lot of time to waste time.
Mm.
And I know you guys can arrange to be in nightclubs, not queuing for 2 hours to get in on the cheap rates. So people can go out, have a party or a pool party. They can go and sit and have a meal at a reasonable time, not rushing to get in front of a queue at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
exactly. You can get them in at 11, half 11. So time management is important. I mean, when I was setting up and doing all my trips, there was no one to help you. You sort of learn through trial and error what you could achieve in a day and what you couldn't achieve. Sometimes we did try and overachieve.
on that then, Martin.
Yeah.
I want to tuck into some of these stories that you'd sent across to me with just the titles. So what is this first one? I'm going to dive straight into the
What we'll do, you ask Martin one, then I'll ask from the list and we can see where we take it from there.
You're going to start with the seven lost passports.
Seven lost passports.
Because let's face it, a lot of people on this pod, they want to know the stories, like what people have gone through.
This happened before the Hangover movie, but it's got a feel of the Hangover movie. I was the party planner. There was eight guys. We'd picked up an RV in LA, done a bit of a road trip, gone up to San Francisco through Yosemite. But the main goal of the holiday was to spend the weekend in Vegas. I'd have sort of talked a few of the boys that were coming, their wives, that I'd look after them. There'd be no problem. I was experienced. I knew the city, and there'd be no harm done.
This sounds like the veterans version of the hangover, doesn't it? I think they got inspiration from you, bro.
So by the time we managed to get the RV to Circus, because RV did have a circus to have an RV place where you can park RVs and you can stay without using the hotel. Mm. So as far as I was concerned, I'd got them to Vegas without crashing the RV. We'd had a full day on a pub crawl on the left-hand side of the strip day one. We had gone and played some golf on the second day. Third day, we decided we'll do the opposite side of the strip. We'd gone out about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I suppose, and we started probably somewhere near in Park MGM, working our way up, having a drink or two in each of the casinos, playing a bit of cards, working our way up the strip. But I'd always encourage the guys to take passports with them, because if you hit a jackpot on a slot machine and you don't have your passport, the American laws will take 30% of your profit.
Do you know what? I think because this happened to my missus, she actually won a competition at Wet Republic.
Yeah.
And she went to collect her winnings, and they wanted to take 30%.
Yeah.
But that wasn't down to... From what happened with her, it wasn't down to the passport or the license. It was the fact that she wasn't a resident.
Yes.
So maybe it's changed over the years. Like maybe if you had your passport, it would be the case. But now it's like you have to be a resident. Otherwise, they're going to take the 30%.
No, with the UK, have got to deal with the American tax people. If you can prove you've got a British passport, they can't withdraw your 30%. They try it because...
Right, that's probably what they tried to do.
The reason being is if they charge you 30%, you can fill a form in the UK that claims the 30% back, and people can't be bothered to do it. So the hotel keep that 30%. So effectively, if you show your passport when you have a big win, they shouldn't take your money.
As far as I'm aware, it's above 1,100, isn't it?
Yeah, above 1,200 quid.
Above 1,200.
So if you win above 1,200 quid and you can't prove a British passport, they don't take licenses either, because people can fake a license harder. So I'd encourage these guys to take their passports with them each day.
I love the optimism. Take your passport, lads, you're going to win a jackpot. Not like you win a jackpot, go back to your hotel and then come back and get it. It's like, bring your passport, you're going to win.
Bring it.
Come on.
So on this particular day, I always keep my passport in my pocket. No one else is looking after my passport. Mm. The other seven guys decided to give them to one person to look after. So he had a man bag or a satchel, or whatever you want to call it. So he's...
And he was the loose cannon of the bunch.
Well, I warned these guys the day before. This same guy they'd given their passports to lost his phone in the casino the day before.
Oh, right.
So I did say to the guys, are you sure you've got the right person looking after your passports? But they agreed it will be fine. So we've had we're probably 8 or 10 drinks in. We've worked our way up through Aria, up through Cosmo, through Bellagio, through Caesars. We're now at the Mirage, as was. I'm sitting down to play blackjack, because in each hotel we'd have half hour on the tables, have a drink. Trying to keep the seven people together, because you can lose people.
It's a nightmare trying to bring... This is what happens with our groups all the time, especially groups above sort of like 7 to 10 people.
You're ready to move on and there's someone missing.
People tend to group in sort of twos and threes.
Yes,
so it's like, that's usually how it
there's
ends up happening.
There's a couple playing cards, a couple drinking, a couple chatting to a couple of girls and what have you.
Yep.
We eventually get to...
Your dad knows about that, doesn't he, buddy?
So we get to the Mirage and I'm playing cards. It's all going well. I'm hitting 21. The money's just coming in.
Perfect.
Darren, who's the passport holder, sits next to me and says, "How are you getting on, Martin?" I said, "Oh, it's blinding. Every hand's a winner."
Wow.
He goes, "Oh, I'll join in." And he's gone like that.
Oh my God. No way. All of them.
No bag.
Oh, man.
No money. Wow. And more importantly, seven lost passports.
Wow.
At this point, the other seven guys sobered up quite quick.
Yeah. was it still a case? Like, how many years ago was that?
This was 7 or 8 years ago.
So was it still a case where you couldn't get the passports in Vegas? You had to drive to LA? because I've had a few clients do exactly the same thing. They've lost their passports, and then instead of getting a new one from Harry Reid Airport or McCarran Airport, as it was called, they've had to drive to LA or get to LA anyway, and then get the passport and then come back.
Well, yeah. this was a Sunday night. This is about 11 o'clock at night, and we're flying 12 hours.
Oh no. So you need an emergency passport.
We didn't have copies. We were staying in an RV. There was no hotel taking copies of our passports. Whoa, my passport had been checked at Circus Circus to book into.
Did you have your passport on you?
I have my passport on.
Yeah. He's a sensible one. He's smart. He's like, see you later, lads. Fucking. But then they're thinking, do you know what? We've got another few nights in Vegas.
So,
true.
Obviously, we then realised that we've lost 7 passports. So we get the heads together, work out, look, when did you last have the bag, Darren? He said,
retracing the steps,
trying to, you know, where we were. We last whipped up in Bellagio. So two hotels back, last whipped up. He'd remembered having his money because he took the money out. So we worked out it's 2 hotels ago, which is an hour's worth of time. Mm. So we decide to send 2 guys back to Bellagio and 2 back to Caesars.
It was like a
bum baggy thing.
Right, so he's just disconnected
it. He's basically disconnected it.
Right, okay,
so
yeah.
It's got about $1,000 in it. It's got 7 passports, more importantly. There's no room keys because we're not checked into a hotel. So, you know, there's nothing other than the passports.
I see, right, yeah, yeah.
So, but we're with a couple of guys that have been in the army, 1 from the RAF. These are like pretty much the SES. So, Darren, don't worry, they're going to go back. Don't panic. They'll find it. Everything will be all right. So we carried on playing. Darren's feeling very worse for wear, and obviously he's worried about it. Eventually, the 2 other parties come back from the other 2 places. No sign of the passports or the bag. So we're now prop hangover movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're flying home in 12 hours.
Yeah.
7 of you haven't got passports. We're going to have to start thinking about ringing the other arse.
Embassy. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
One of the guys is moving house the day after we get back. Another of the guys is starting a new job the day after we get back.
Mm-hmm.
So these now are starting to get really worried.
Yeah. Whoa.
So I'm a humorous drunk in the party. There's always someone that if they have a few drinks, they get humorous. So I said, look, I'll ring team.
Obviously, he's humorous because he's still got his passport. You know what I mean? I'll be the same. I'll be smug as fuck. Like, just,
I'm on a heater at the table.
Don't
kill the vibe. So I said, I'll ring Tina first. They're going, well, why do you need to ring Tina? You've got your passport. I said, it's good news. I can tell her that I haven't got a bid for an upgrade. I've got 4 seats to myself on the way home. So that didn't go down well. So they were just about to start making phone calls, cancelling. And one of the guys turned around to Darren and said, when we got here, you disappeared because you weren't here for the first round. Where did you go? And he realised he'd gone to the toilets in the
Mirage. Oh, right.
So we think he was clearing some room.
Yeah.
So suddenly they all go off running because they can't remember which toilet it was. You know what the casinos
are
like.
There's 10 of them.
There's 10 or 12.
So was you not all drunk at this point?
Yeah, we'd been doing shots and drinks in every casino.
Right, okay. Because you can imagine, like, when it's when everyone's like off their trolley, it's a lot harder to sort of like.
And the Mirage is huge, and there's just slot machines.
Yeah, like the emotions.
Toilet was it?
Elevated,
so
isn't it? Yeah.
Those 7 guys all run off a bit like they've robbed the table, and security are looking where they're going, and they're going into all of the toilets, looking down the doors. And believe it or not, 2 hours after they lost it, the bag was still hung up in a cubicle.
With the £1,000 in as well.
With the £1,000 and the 7 passports.
Oh, wow. What a let off.
So we managed not to have to phone the wives, but it got to a point where we were just about to start phoning people, telling them we weren't coming
His back. Heart must have been like, do you know what I mean?
It gets like that because you think like you guys are having the time of your life.
Yeah.
And then one small thing can happen like that and it could just ruin the whole trip. Mm. So I'm glad you guys, you know, you found it and it wasn't.
I still have nightmares now. Do not lose your passport. I mean, you say, you can.
I wouldn't take it. I don't take it out. I always leave it in the safe or whatever. I don't take the passport out anymore, unless I lose my driving license, which I've done a few times. And then you have to take it out. But if I can avoid it, so, I try not to take that one out. Were they sort of blaming you at all, or?
No, I warned them before they gave them the passports. You are giving your passports to the wrong guy in the group.
The reason I say they blame you is because you said obviously take your passport in case you witness.
We'd done it for the 3 days. Everyone had taken passports for some reason on that last night. They all decided to give them to the guy that was guaranteed to lose them.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've spoken to Darren loads of times. he's lost his house and car keys at home for a week, and then found him in the freezer with a bottle of vodka. That he put in there. You know what I mean?
Would
you
vodka give don't freeze, though, does it? Apparently,
vodka don't freeze. No, but he likes it cold.
Yeah. Oh, so he puts I see.
It in the
freezer to so chill it. It does chill it then.
It does chill.
Yeah, it must do. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, see.
So yeah. So he found his keys. He'd obviously put the bottle of vodka in. And obviously dropped his house and car keys in there, found it 5 days later when he wanted a vodka. And this is the guy they gave the passports to.
Wow. He sounds like the Allen of the bunch.
He's got his satchel and everything. Yeah.
The passports were dug. And we did find him.
All I'm going to say is $500,000 near miss.
Oh.
What's that one all about?
If you go to Vegas...
It's gambling now.
It's silly. We're gambling, yeah. This happened in the Cosmo 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Oh, wow. This is recent then.
Yeah, this is recent, yeah.
So it wasn't like something where, when you say near miss, is it something where you, like, for example, with the roulette, you could have put the number on, but you didn't, you was going to bet on a certain number or thing and it didn't come in?
I was playing slots and I'd won about, $700,000-$800,000. Tina was, like she does, probably half 12. She's going.
Wait, hold on a sec. You playing slots and you won $700,000-$800,000.
No, about $1,000.
Fuck,
I was going to say, that's like nearly a million.
No, I think it was
he's like, don't need to sell his business. Yeah. Like,
£700
to $1,000.
$1,000. Tina said she's going up. So she knows that I'll just stay in a casino, play for a few more hours.
Right, yeah.
So I thought I'll go in the high limit bit.
Nice.
Get away from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk up to two machines. They're both the same, as you do. They're always banked in twos.
Yeah. Mm. Do you have a favoured high limit lounge in one of the hotels? Or you just go wherever you...
It depends where... We tend to stay in the hotels we like. So, I'm quite heavily... The centre of the strip is where you have...
Bellagio.
Yeah, it's so much easier to get around. Bellagio, Cosmo... Even Aria set back a bit, but still a nice sort of nice hotel, and it doesn't have a lot of foot traffic. So in the evening, you've not got a lot of Cosmo's Ramo till two in the morning because of passing trade.
Yeah, and the high limit is literally right off the main.
Yes.
As you walk through the centre of the hotel, the high limit's just right there.
Yes,
whereas a lot of the others, behind, you have to sort of like.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's another high limit upstairs, isn't there, in the Cosmo?
Yeah,
behind Egg Slot. If you go to the right behind there.
That's it, yeah.
That high limit room that's upstairs is for the cards and the blackjack, whereas the high limit you see downstairs is the slot high limit.
Right. Yeah,
so
right.
I was in the slot high limit.
Slot high limit. So it was Cosmo you was
in? I was in the Cosmo,
On this occasion. Right, okay, story. Cool.
So I've sat down in front of, walked up to two machines, exactly the same. I think so I'll play the left ones, I'll play the right one. I will sit at the right one. So I sit down at the right one, put my... little, you don't get money out, you get slips, don't you? So,
I
put my little slip in with my $1,000, start playing $25 a spin, not much happening. A nice young lady come and sat next to me on the machine that I didn't sit at.
Another brass. No, because we got this running joke his dad was getting chat up by different brasses.
I did hear that.
I don't know where they are, because when I'm out there, they're nowhere to be seen.
They're generally not in the Cosmo. But no, she was just a nice lady that likes a gamble. So she sat next to me playing the machine that I didn't sit at. Four spins. Mm-hmm. She got the feature up. Dragon Link, I think 15. You get these balls the appear balls, on the screen.
Oh, wow.
She filled up all 15 balls. $497,000.
Wow.
And I chose to sat on the right.
What, she actually won it?
Yes.
No.
She was sat, there was two machines and I sat at the right machine. She sat at the left machine, four spins.
Oh my God.
We were both, it was $25 a spin. So I've probably done 15 spins. My money's going down. She sat down, ordered a drink.
Wow.
Four spins. That's 490.
This is what I was saying, Mike. This is what I said timing. About the near miss, right? Because in that scenario, it's one of them things where, like, you pick a certain selection of lottery numbers each week.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's as if, like, that week you didn't put your numbers on.
Yeah.
That's the same feeling.
Yes.
So how long did it take you to sort of get over that? Was you for the next few days thinking, I should be like $500,000 up here?
I was thinking if Teen Ratton had gone to bed, we'd have been playing both machines.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you was thinking?
I'm blaming Tina. I mean, I'm very easygoing. I get luck. I sit on the right machine. I don't win that much, but I've sat at machines and played a couple of dollars where people have been playing all day and you drop 10,000 jackpot or something like that.
So, it's funny you say that, because when I play blackjack, I always sit on the right chair.
Yeah.
So like you got, say for example, like the tables in front of us there, I always sit on that one.
Yes.
Are you like that as well?
Well, you get your cards first.
Yeah, that's it.
The reason people don't like sitting on the left-hand
one. I've always had the most luck there. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're in first base. People don't like the last base is because you're taking cards that eventually, if you didn't take the card,
you're sort of in control of your own destiny being first. Whereas like is safe. Yeah.
So I always encourage people that come with me, if you don't know how to play the game, you don't know the strategy properly, sit in base one or two.
Yeah.
You'll always be comfortable. If one or two.
If one's taken, I'll go two.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if the other seats are free,
you don't like
I won't even bother.
Yeah.
And like also, I don't know if you're like this, but when I can, I can only play when I can see the cards. You know, they've got their machines now.
Yes.
Where they push the button and then it comes out. Like, I don't trust them. Yeah. I don't know why.
Auto-shufflers.
Yeah, they're auto-shufflers.
I'm sure they can shuffle them into a winning position for the house.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, that's what... what's this guy? Mickey, I've forgotten his name. The one who's banned from all the casinos. He says that the shuffler, like, does...
I actually met that guy. I know you're talking about... I met him in the Aria. Yeah, he's...
Isn't he banned from most places?
He's banned from most of them because he's good at counting cards.
He's card counting.
Yeah, but also as well, he's got a knack of just winning because he knows the... probabilities and whatever in his head.
Yeah.
But you know what? While we're on the topic of gambling, should we have a little spin of the roulette?
Let's do it.
Break things up a little bit. And then we could talk about maybe like another story or two that we've
I've got one loaded up that I really want to hear.
Okay. Right. So Bronte, me and you have still got our bet going on.
Yep. I'm black 17.
You're black 17. I'm red 7 on the $500. What should we do with Martin, do you reckon?
I'll give me a number. We'll have 8.
Yeah. Eight black or is it 8 red? What we do?
8 black.
And if it lands there, then we've got a few contacts, obviously, in Vegas. I'm sure you do as well, that we'll sort you out something in your trip if it lands.
Can I go?
I'm going to be out there the same time. So if you I'll hook you up anyway.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even want to rely on this because the chance of it coming in is fucking 1 in 35?
I am lucky.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Number 8, here we go.
Well, I tell you what we'll do. We'll give you a stack of these $100 bills, yeah? Get a close up of that one, Stu.
Nice. Yeah.
Right, we'll spin the wheel first.
You're going to be a proper dealer in the future, aren't you?
I'm not really much of a gambler because... We're just well close to the black 8 then. It just skipped past
skipped
it.
Off it. 16.
Red 16.
Red 16.
You was black 16.
Black 17.
Black 17.
It's the wrong area.
Never mind.
None of us are winner. That don't matter because we didn't have to put a stake in.
No winner, chicken dinner.
That's exactly. No risk, no reward.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yes, okay. We didn't risk anything.
This next one, if you're okay to tell it, Martin, is the two that are arrested for having sex in a beach club.
I saw that one. I was thinking, because he's talking about his missus, I weren't sure whether to throw that one in or not. Was that you or was that someone else?
That we witnessed that obviously happened. And I just thought, I know you guys are into pool parties and you probably have some sort of story. But
mate, I've seen it myself. I've seen that happen and people get chucked out for it. So I was just wondering if it was actually you.
It wasn't. This is a few years back. We were staying at Mandalay Bay. There's four of us, a business partner and other halves, and we just thought we're going to quiet. It's a Tuesday or a Wednesday. There's no pool parties on, but the beach clubs still use those facilities. So we booked a cabana at the Mora Beach Club at Mandalay for the afternoon.
I like that. It's still there.
Yeah,
it's actually quite. I actually quite like that one.
Yeah, it's small.
It's small, tucked away. It's quite classy though, and it's quite tucked away.
Yes, yeah.
So like a lot of people, instead of going daylight, if you're in group like your couples or whatever, it's quite nice to go to there instead because obviously, have you been to daylight beach club?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite big, open, like a pool party in Vegas usually is.
Yeah.
But then the Mora, it's like hidden away and it's just like best kept secret sort of thing. It's nice.
I mean, I think they built it before the pool parties were really a thing. So it's been there for years. To have a full pool party, but it was a sort of a day thing.
Yeah.
So there wasn't many there. It was sort of a lovely weather. We've got the TV in the cabana. All the beers are out and the drinks are out. We're having a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't many people in there. There was about 40 people, I suppose.
There's never usually many people in there. It's more of like a secluded,
a couple of girls on one side of the main pool and a couple of guys over this side. And obviously they got chatting and having a few drinks. So they weren't together. They were just having their own little drinks in the afternoon. And then about an hour in, this is probably half two, 3 o'clock. They're in one of the girls, they're in the infinity jacuzzi at the top.
Yeah. Nice.
And obviously it's bubbles, the whole thing is bubbles. And there's, you know, I think Russ said to me, I'm getting a bit close, you know what I mean? I'll just ignore them, you know what I mean? We're just drinking away. And yeah, next thing you know, one of the lifeguards has walked past, took a bit of a shifty looking down.
Right.
And then he's tipped the wink to someone. And as he's walked back, they've timed the jacuzzi bubbles to turn off. So literally all of the frothing and the bubbles went still.
Yeah. But he was still riding the wave.
He was still riding the wave. So I think they were proper at it. And then, got pointed out and they were sort of pulled to one side. Hotel manager come down. Mm. This is in front of everyone. There's not much they can really do.
It is an adults only pool.
It is an adults only. It's obviously over 21s. But they got... I chatted to the guy that had booked us the cabana. He come around and apologised because they shut the infinity pool and said, look, we need to sanitise and do what we've got to do to this thing.
So
on the plus, everything's got a plus story. We had some free more buckets of beer and some more stuff, but we can't use the jacuzzi. I didn't really want to use the jacuzzi ball after.
So they've compensated you for watching basically a live sex show.
Yes.
Fucking hell. Usually you have to pay for that. You got it for free and they fucking gave them some free beers.
The upshot is they were both staying at the hotel. They were both kicked out. They were getting arrested.
You're joking.
For in public indecency.
How long ago was this?
This was about 8-9 years ago. Yeah. And they were going to get charged 12,000 for a pool clean.
Wow. 12 grand for a pool clean.
Well, they were saying they had to close the pool, that part of the pool.
So they'd have to reduce
people's prices because you can't use it. So they offered drinks out to everyone else that was there. So
that's a bit heavy. That is. Yeah. I mean, so, I've seen
it as potential loss, though, don't they?
Loss of earnings. Yeah, I get that, but it just.
Well, this is what
it's
the
a bit much.
What the cabana manager said would happen to him. So
okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't me. Party. So maybe
it wasn't me.
We were witness that. You know, just be careful at pool parties.
Yeah, I've seen that happen a few times. That's crazy. Mm. People just get ahead of themselves, especially after you've had a few drinks and that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. What have we got here then? How are we doing for time, buddy?
Yeah.
We're about
40 minutes now.
So. Okay, perfect. We've got loads of time. What about the mini bar?
Mini
bar incident.
Well, I think we've all done it.
He's got caught out by lifting stuff up for longer than three or four seconds. He's lifted up pressure. Everything and then it's just charging when he's got...
I know how the mini bar works. And as you guys know, everything in there is extortionate.
Mm.
But one
it's all on a sensor, guys.
Back.
So be careful of that one. As soon as you lift it up, they're going to charge you for it.
So we...
I have a little trick that I do, but I don't know if I should tell him.
What's the trick?
Well, if you have the same... item. Yes. So if you've bought
you eat and replace it. Leave whatever it is
I'm not sure.
I literally just so quickly in like the mini fridge, I'll just put there's a cold Fiji in there and this one's a bit warm, so I'll just
I have picked stuff up before and put it back in and not been charged. So I'm not quite sure how much time there is for you to get charged. But
like
this particular case,
so.
3 seconds. We'd been out, come back late. I think it was sort of a 4 a.m. thing where you come back from nightclub or bars, you do a bit of gambling, you watch the football that's sometimes on at 4 and 5 a.m.
Yeah.
The lunchtime
and then you reach
games,
for the bottles of vodka in there and this, that, and the other. And before you know it, you've got a whole party going on in your room.
We've come back late and I was a bit half cut. And I don't remember doing it, but I remember waking up in the morning, stretching out and going round, and they're like, what's all that shit on there? I think there was about 4 Red Bulls, 2 Jack Daniels, the macadamia nuts were open, man. The biscuits were open.
No.
I'd had a right old munch up. Without really remembering what was going on. So we added it up, and I think my little late night binge cost about $540.
Yeah.
And I think I had 2 alcoholic drinks, 3 Red Bulls, a can of Coke, and a couple of packets of nuts.
So you know what? It's not so bad if it's like one out of your trip. If you're doing that every night, it turns out to be quite expensive.
I think I thought it was my free
fridge and I was just sort of tucking in on it. Yeah,
I watched, you didn't know it was chargeable.
I don't even remember opening it.
Mm. Wow. So, you know, like some of the rewards cards that you get, they offer you a free mini bar if it's a certain tier when you book it in.
Yeah.
So I've had that a few times, that's which cool. is a touch. But
don't break into the mini bar.
Yeah,
at 4 a.m. But yeah, so I don't remember doing it. Just woke up and there it all was the following morning.
Yeah.
So that's nuts. Anyhow.
So let's should we talk about this, like how, because obviously now you're saying you go 3 times a year or 2-3 times a year. Like how, like from when you first started going 25 years ago, right? What's been your main, like how have, like the evolution of Vegas, how do you feel it's changed? Like, and is it some things, is it for the good or some is for the worse?
Most of the changes are for the good. As I said earlier, when I first went, it was very much everything was gambling orientated. Mm. It was to keep you in the casinos.
Was it things a lot more relaxed though then? As in you could get away with a lot more, like shagging in the swimming pool, for example. Do you feel like 25 years ago you could have got away with
that? I think it was more a drinking and a gambling culture. Don't think the entertainment side of it had sort of clicked in, and they would encourage you with really cheap food. So the buffets were a big thing and you would buy a one-day ticket for a buffet. So you'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Just come and go.
But that would keep you in the hotel because you'd already prepaid for that day's food.
So
that sort of thing was quite commonplace. It would be like, I don't know, $25 all day to eat and drink. But that keeps you in, you know, you're not going to go up the other end of the strip when you've paid for your lunch and your dinner. So that was
surprising why they don't do that more now then. Because all of the hotels, they want people to stay in that hotel and spend money in the pool party, the nightclubs, the casino as much as possible.
Yeah.
So that sounds like quite a good way to hook them in.
Yeah, I think people got bored. I mean, particularly since COVID, the whole sort of handling the food and all that all sort of changed all. But the biggest change really is it's now, I think the gambling is secondary. When I used to go on planes flying out to Vegas.
I found that. The gambling is secondary now.
Yeah, it's very much not a third. Small, that's what I said to the viewers. It's such a small part now.
Yeah, when we used to be on the planes and you chat to your people around you, everyone was going to play cards and gamble. Now, when you talk to people on the planes, it's not their first trip, it's their fifth or sixth or seventh trip.
Yeah,
there's very few first timers on planes. They're all repeat customers.
No, it's just the TV. I'll sort that.
The change now is those people are going to parties, they're going to functions, they're going to
conferences,
see
a
bit of sport, some of it's conference. Yeah. And I think also the entertainment.
Mm.
The residencies were sort of, people are coming to the end of their career looking for a last payday. It was,
there's still quite a bit of that.
But
they are injecting sort of like newer artists than current.
I mean, the Sphere now is starting to do stuff. I mean, a lot of who they've shown at the moment are older acts.
Yeah.
But you've got like your Beyoncé's, your Killers. You know, these people are turning up and playing those venues a lot more regularly. Before, it used to be people coming to the end of their career. So they've got more names. And I think it is more of a destination now, and the gambling is secondary to that.
Yeah.
For me, it's not, because I sort of, the gamble part is quite a key element of why we go.
Why you go? Yeah.
But for my wife, the entertainment and the food and the nice restaurants.
Mm.
You didn't have all of them options 10 years ago. You've got major options now.
Mm. I think a lot of it as well is like from what I've understood from other people that have gone, but like back in the day, is the gambling was the main focus, but the gamblers, they'd win and then not really have a lot to
do.
Yes.
So then they started creating the nightclubs and the pool parties as entertainment for the gamblers.
Yes.
Yeah. So it wasn't like they were put there, you know, like just for people to come to Vegas and party. It was, for the gamblers to spend their money once they'd won, or to drown their sorrows once they'd lost, sort of thing. So, but then now, as you say, it's sort of like in the forefront of stuff. Yes. So now that comes pretty much first. And then the gambling's when you come out of the pool party or the nightclub.
The retail used to be all the retail in the hotels used to be all little cheap gifty stuff. Now it's not. You've got shopping centers with Rolex.
My next question.
Rolex
have
just opened in Caesars. You know,
not that you'd be able to buy a watch from there though, because you go in and they're just like, come and see us in like 6 months or six years or whatever it is. It's mad. It's crazy.
You know, all the brands, there's a load of way of spending money now.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
I was going to say they don't really worry about it now because there's so many other areas due to the fact that it's all umbrella.
Yeah.
You know, they own most of the stuff that's in the hotel casinos, that you're going to spend all the money there, and then just by chance you walk past a slot table, a slot machine, sorry, and you walk past a blackjack table or roulette, and most people, because they think, oh, it's Vegas, I'll just have a little gamble, but they know they're going to make their money in all the other areas.
Yeah.
I was also going to ask you about like the shows, because obviously Vegas is very notoriously famous for their shows.
Mm-hmm.
For 25 years of you going and 37 which ones would you say are the good ones?
Circus LA stuff's like still on their top.
We probably do... A normal trip for us now is 5 or 6 nights. The 4 nighters is too far to go for 4 nights.
Yeah, it's the flight time.
6 nights is perfect.
It's what I was saying on previous pods, wasn't I? Most people come between 5 and 7 days, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not worth it for Brits anyway. The four-day one was more of like a boy's trip.
A lot of stag do Thursday to Monday.
Because you're like absolutely battered by day 3. You don't even want to speak to no one in your group. Yeah. You're just like, get away from me, fucking devils.
Yeah. Social battery's gone.
I mean, I'll mention it briefly. I obviously have my own Instagram thing where I cover some of the Vegas stuff, and it's called Vegas Battle On. People ask me, why is it called Vegas Battle On?
It's one of the things you sort of have to battle on. When you're a stag dude, it happens a lot with stag dudes.
You're battling the weather, you're battling your time, you're battling your wallet, you're battling your amount of alcohol intake, you're battling staying together, you're battling some of the brasses on the street. And also when you look at people in the E-gates on departure, everyone looks like they've been through a battle because they're done, aren't they?
They've got a gun range called Battlefield, didn't they, as well?
Yeah, Battlefield Vegas. So the Instagram is Vegas Battle On, because every trip is a bit of a battle, really. But you're always ready for the next one, and you're still up for the next one, and day one starts again.
It's coming back to what you were saying earlier as well. Sorry to interrupt. It's like, because you've only got a certain amount of time in Vegas, like usually you wouldn't need to battle on, but because you've got a certain amount of time, you want to get the most out of it.
Yeah.
You sort of have to chug through and just keep going to get the most out of the time.
That's what I was going to say. Like, no matter how many trips you go, you still follow that same format. Here we go, day one or day two. Let's just go for it.
So coming back to the shows, we've pretty much seen them all. We do a couple of shows per trip.
What's your favorite show?
I mean, the Cirques. We love the Cirques. I think Cara MGM has been going probably one of the longest, but we've seen that a couple of times. Great show.
At the Bellagio.
There's a few newer ones. I haven't seen the Mad Apple yet, which is at New York. We'll probably do that when we go this time.
Nice.
The Rive's pretty cool. I don't know if they've still got it at the Wynn. That was like a water stage show sort of thing.
I'm not sure if Le Rive's still going.
Mystique is still going.
I think Le Rive may have gone.
There might have been one at the MGM. What's the one? That's Circus Select the MGM. I went to see that one.
That's the car.
Yeah, that's the car one.
That's the one about the two sort of, it's brother like the, and sister get parted.
Okay.
Very good show. If you do get a chance and there is one Cirque you go, I would say go see Carl. But we also enjoy the comedy ones. We've seen Penn and Teller, magic comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that at Rio, is it?
That's at the Rio. It's a little bit set back, but their show is great.
Yeah, it is good.
And they actually come outside and
take photos
with everyone as they leave.
Yeah.
They literally, as they're coming off stage, they run straight past you and they're at the doors waiting. And if there's people queuing for 2 hours, they'll stay for two hours.
They did that with us as well.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why they've been there for so long. It's because they're sort of engaging with the crowd and then, you know, people getting something to take away.
We also like
Absinthe's a good one. You tried Absinthe?
Absinthe, yeah.
Circus comedy as well. Yes, yeah. Outside Caesars.
Well, I think Mad Apple is similar to that.
Sort of like a talent show
type thing. And we've also seen Terry Fader, who does the... Singing, Tranquilla.
We've had a Hennessy, man. It's like, it's hard to get your words out sometimes.
But
he can't say it now. Go on,
what is it, buddy? He's killing me. How am I pronouncing it?
A ventriloquist.
Yeah, ventriloquist. Yeah, there you go.
But he does like David Bowie, Elton John, and things like that. And he sings it with puppets, and you can't understand how hard that must be. But it's all those sort of...
It's all from random, here, isn't it? They sort of sing it from there somehow.
They're sort of random shows, but they pop up all over the place. We go to music stuff as well. Shania Twain, a bit of country. Country's, mm-hmm. you know,
love a bit of country,
in.
The country stuff everyone's going mad for.
We try and vary it, and I say every trip's different.
Yeah. I've been to the Mandalay Bay's Michael Jackson show.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen that three times.
Yeah, I saw that in November. I went with a couple of friends that like Michael Jackson. So I've seen it before, but I'll just join in with the group. And they loved it. I mean, it's not a lot of money. I mean, you can get in for sort of $70, I suppose. Yeah. If you want to sit at the front, you're $300. But
yeah,
there's a couple of shows. But it varies as to, who you're with as to what you're going to do.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about as well? Obviously, it's another big part of Vegas. Is you were saying to me about a couple of your favorite restaurants and places you'd recommend to the viewers, like some of the good places to go, some of the ones if you just want for like hangover food, good breakfast places.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of the nice restaurants for an evening meal. We do like having a proper steak meal, so I'm sorry if it's not your thing, but.
As in vegetarians?
Yeah, he didn't want to say.
So vegans, vegetarians, you can put us on mute now if you want for a little while we talk about steakhouses.
So
I'm just trying to think, like, what's the oldest one I went to? Just right at the end of the strip, like right near the Stratosphere, just round the corner from there.
Is that the Pepper Mill?
No, that's the little bit before.
A little bit before.
But you've got the Pepper Mill, but then you've got, what's it called? It's all lit up like a Christmas tree from outside, but it's meant to be one of the oldest, and the mob used to go there.
I'm not sure what that
is. It's not an Outback steakhouse.
It's not an Outback, no.
I've been to the Pepper Mill, which is, again, a very retro-y, neon.
Yeah, Pepper Mill's class, yeah.
But my favourite restaurant for, there's two or three. I like the Mayfair Supper Club.
Golden Steer, sorry, while it's in my head. Okay. Yeah, Golden Steer's the one I was thinking about.
Mayfair Supper Club in Bellagio's lovely because that's more of a cabaret 1920s style thing. So you get a bit of entertainment and nice food.
Mm-hmm.
STK and Cosmo, always a decent meal. Although it's a little bit dark in there. You need your lights to read the menu.
Martin loves the actual like interaction with like the music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's the way a lot of places are going now because people want a bit more. Obviously you want your food and stuff, but you also want a bit of entertainment. Yeah. So like the Mayfair Supper Club, STK is great for that.
Because you go to a meal and you're spending $300-$400 a person. You don't want to sit down, have your food for an hour and be kicked out. With the Mayfair Supper Club, it's almost like one sitting. You can go in, they're not rushing you. There's a singer, there's a performer, there's a dancer, there's stuff going on. You've got the fountains going off behind you. If you sat on the right table. Table selection, that's another subject because there's ways of getting tables.
That's where we come in.
That's where you got to come in.
No, but that's what I was saying. Like, obviously, Mayfair Supper Club, did you ever go to Hyde nightclub?
No.
Because the Hyde was there before Mayfair.
Yeah.
I used to love the Hyde nightclub and obviously it used to be like Saturday was really a good night and then they had Tuesday, which is a good night. But they obviously looked at it and thought, we need to give people a bit more. So that's why it evolved into the Mayfair Supper Club now where it's, food and entertainment.
I mean, you have to book that 6-8 weeks in advance.
Yeah. Not unless you know the right people.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Nah, but generally you're right. You do. And especially for bigger groups, it's harder to fit people in. So
my favorite steak is probably not a place that many people go, but we go to Tender, which is the steakhouse in the Luxor.
Which has been there about... Mate, that's really nice,
It's about 25 years that's been there, and I've probably visited 25 times because each trip we will have a meal there. We're at a point where I know all the waiters and the people there, they know me. I see them three times a year, so I've got a bit of rapport. We always get a nice table.
Nice.
And it's not overly expensive, but the food is good.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've not been there myself. I've heard good things about that one.
So yeah, there's a couple I don't like, but I won't say what they are.
We won't throw down.
I might have just had a bad night on there.
What would be your hangover place to go to? Like, is it pizza place, a burger place?
Oh, we like a Secret Pizza in the Cosmo for a late pizza. It's harder to get food at night.
Yes. As much as people know that it's a 24-hour.
It's not a 24-hour eating centre anymore. You used to be able to, there's some places like Aria's got the patisserie that opens 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
So if you're at Aria, you can go down and get
I think, like with the whole internet thing, it's like a lot of people decide if you do need something late night, you just go on like the Uber Eats or one of those and they just deliver it to your door. So I think people are sort of, when they come to Vegas, they've got that on the radar. Yeah. So, maybe the later places. I know Peppermint is open 24 hours, so you can always go there.
So it is harder to get a late night. I mean, it's difficult to get your coffee in the morning until sort of 7 o'clock. Most of these coffee shops don't open until 7.
Mm.
So sometimes if you've been on the tables quite late, you're having a coffee and going to bed at 7. But it is harder to get for midnight food and snack food, hence the minibar problem.
But I was also going to say as well, I mean, we'll probably come to about an hour or so, Steve, into the pod. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Do we want to do a quick rapid fire with Martin? You know our rapid fire that we do? Yeah, if we ask him now, it does. And then, we could pretty much wrap it up.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool. So, yeah, we did this on a previous pod, but it wasn't as rapid. So hopefully we can get it a little bit better this time around.
It's one word answers.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
So, I'll try and find it as well. And then we can... We can sort of rapid fire together.
But as well, is there any other little bits of advice you'd want to quickly say to the camera for a few seconds whilst I find these?
I think the biggest thing about if you're planning a Vegas trip, you've got two things. Manage the money. I've been on trips where people have spent their money on the first night. So just be careful. Have a decent budget and stick to it. And say if you're on a 4 or 5 day trip, make sure you plan it. Don't overplan it.
Yep.
Give yourself a couple of things to do each day. I mean, you guys can help people plan and organise. There's nothing worse than being in queues and or the other thing, or aimlessly walking the strip to find stuff to do. Yep. So
leave your passport in your
safe and do not give it to someone that's going to lose your passport.
I've got them, Steve. So
if you want to ask, and then also I will throw it in there. Obviously, if you are booking a trip, make sure you use the code Vegas10 if you want 10% off your itinerary planning stuff.
Vegas Pod 10 for 10% off of your package for VIP Vegas UK, and we'll leave it all in the description below for you guys.
Yeah. Okay, last part, rapid fire then.
Rapid fire.
Here we go then.
Let's go, Martin. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you steady? Let's go.
Right, red or black?
Red.
Red.
Definitely red.
In blackjack, a 15 comes out, hit or stick.
What's the dealer got?
Say 7.
No. The dealer's got an 8.
If the dealer's got an 8, you've always got to get to 17, so you hit 15 and 16.
Ooh.
Day club or nightclub?
Day club now.
Nice. MGM or Caesars?
Caesars is a much better position. If I'm staying, am I gambling or just staying there?
Just as an overall for their gambling, their entertainment.
He's thinking in the same lines as me. I think
Caesars is better to stay for location, but if you want a few drinks and the different bars and stuff like that, maybe MGM.
Mm-hmm. Very similar answer to you. Okay.
Only the Vegas veterans know those answers. This is
So the strip.
They got some nice rooms at MGM now. The Signature and all that. They're doing it up. So
renovating MGM Grand with all new furniture.
I think you can stay in a different room in the MGM for 10 years without repeating a room.
Really?
I was right then. That's the biggest hotel in Vegas.
When it was built, it was in the top 5 in the world. I think some of the Abu Dhabis have caught them up in Dubai, but I think it's 3,500 rooms, so 10 years.
And that was
without the signatures at the back, so there's probably 4,000 plus rooms.
I like the signatures as well when you were staying there, and they've got like the kitchenette area and the balcony and stuff. Sorry, strip or Fremont Street / downtown?
Strip.
Yep.
Spend 4 hours in down. Do a 4-hour trip to Fremont if you have to. I mean, there is a Barry Steakhouse at Circa. Circa's a nice hotel.
Circa's nice.
You do need ID to get in Circa. Yeah.
The stadium swim. I love stadium. We didn't touch it on our sport episode.
What's the steakhouse in the plaza as well? It's been there for ages, for years, and it's... what is it? It's down that end. I think it's like two names.
I'm not sure what that one is. I've tried Carver Steak at Resort World. That's quite nice.
Yeah.
And now you're on about downtown. Barry's in Circa's awesome. Mm. So if you're staying downtown, give that one a go.
Limo or party bus?
Limo.
Nice.
Limo.
Free drinks, as in like, you know, the waitress. Free drinks or professional cocktails made?
Professional cocktails.
Nice. High roller or the Stratosphere top of the world?
Stratosphere top of the world.
Yeah, you prefer that view.
Yeah.
And then finally, obviously one of them's already gone, but the Bellagio Fountains or the Mirage Volcano when it was still kicking.
Definitely the Bellagio. Ocean's 11 vibe, and it's pretty much, after the sign, it's pretty much the next most famous Vegas site, I think.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, on that note, lads.
Yeah, that's perfect way to wrap up this episode.
Yeah. So, Martin, really appreciate you coming down.
Indeed. Thank you ever so much, my friend.
I enjoyed it.
From a Vegas Vegas veteran himself. So
Tom will have a be on the Vegas Strip, bro.
I'll see you in 5 weeks.
End of April. Boom.
Always smooth.
Catch you on the next one, guys. Take care.
Indeed. Thank you very much again for listening to the VIP Vegas podcast. And yeah, obviously you can see all our socials in description and follow Martin on Vegas Battle.
Yeah, thank you. We'll tag all the links below as well as Martin. So yeah, if you're interested in looking into us, then by all means do that.
Perfect. Thank you ever so much once again, guys.
See ya. Take it easy.
Thank you.
One love.